you today. I'm going to read a scripture today from 2 Kings that's not talked about very often. In fact, you might skip over it in reading about the prophets. And the prophets of old were the voices of God. Some of them you may know. Samuel was a prophet. And he told King David a lot of things that he didn't really want to hear. We had prophets. Elijah was a prophet, and he was taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha was a prophet, and we're going to talk about him today. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah was sharing the word of God, and God had forgiveness for the people, and he didn't like it, and that's how he ended up in the belly of a big fish. So there's lots and lots of prophets in the Bible being the voices of God, telling the people to repent or calling them to accountability. And so we have this prophet named Elisha. Elijah was the prophet that called upon God to relieve a drought. He battled the prophets of Baal, which was an idol god. And interesting stories there when you would read about Elijah. There's something that happened with Elisha a few verses before the verses I'm going to read today, and it's something kind of funny in the Bible. Elisha had a bald head, and these youth start making fun of his bald head, and in a word, he calls down bears from the mountain, and the bears eat the 46 youth. I am not kidding. Look it up. It's in the scripture. I think it's one of the only rare occasions where I read about bears in the Bible when they come down the mountain. But in the scripture that I'm going to tell you today, really what happened with the bears and Elisha was not a good day for Elisha. Not a good day. Even though some also say that a prophet of God was being threatened, and so the youth had to be taken out. So anyway, we're going to read today about a woman from an area up in the Galilee region. It's called Shunem, and this is about the Shunammite woman, and it's in 2 Kings. One day, Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So when he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this is a man who often comes our way, and he's a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put a bed in it and a table, a chair, and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and he lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, you've gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can we do for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "Well, she has no son and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected, "don't mislead your servant, O man of God." But the woman did become pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. The child grew, and one day he went out to his father, who was with the reapers. "My head, my head," he said to his father. His father told a servant, "Carry him to his mother." After the servant had lifted him and carried him to his mother, the boy sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. She went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and went out. She called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of your servants and a donkey so I can go to the man of God and return." "Why go to him today?" he asked. "It's not the new moon or the Sabbath." "It's all right," she said. She saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Lead on. Don't slow down for me unless I tell you." So she set out and came to the man of God at Mount Carmel. When he saw her in the distance, the man of God said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, there's the Shunammite. Run to her and meet her and ask her, 'Are you all right? Is your husband all right? Is your child all right?'" "Everything is all right," she said. When she reached the man of God at the mountain, she took hold of his feet. Gehazi came over to push her away, but the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is in bitter distress, but the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me why." "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord?" she said. "Didn't I tell you, don't raise up my hopes?" Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tuck your cloak in your belt and take my staff in your hand and run. If you meet anyone, don't greet him, and if anyone greets you, do not answer. Lay my staff on the boy's face." But the child's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So he got up and he followed her. Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So Gehazi went back to meet Elisha and told him, "The boy has not awakened." When Elisha reached the house, there was a boy lying on the bed on his couch. He went in, shut the door, and on the two of them prayed to the Lord. Then he got on the bed and laid his body upon the boy, mouth to mouth, eyes to eyes, hands to hands. As he stretched himself out upon him, the boy's body grew warm. Elisha turned away and walked back and forth in the room, then got on the bed and stretched out upon him once more. The boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Elisha summoned Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite," and he did. When she came, he said, "Take your son." She came in, fell upon his feet, bowed to the ground, then she took her son and went out. May God add blessing to his word in scripture today. Interesting story, I think. Biblical scholars said that, you know, Elisha had been in a rut a little bit. He had done lots of powerful things through God working through him. He helped kings and he helped settle wars, but he had become a little bit of a grouch, But he was coming to the town of Shunem, and he was preaching quite often. And this woman heard of this man of God. Now, it really wasn't Elisha that she was drawn to. She was drawn to God in Elisha. God's spirit moving in Elisha. And so she invited him to come to dinner. He would come to dinner quite often. Maybe she made the best dinner. Maybe she made the best chicken or cornbread or vegetables. But he was drawn also to come to the house and dialogue with the Shunammite woman and her husband and her servants. Because he would travel so often, she went to her husband and said, "Hey, let's make a room in this house so that when Elisha comes to visit, he doesn't have to stay at the inn." She was making room not only for Elisha, but she was making room for God to move in her house. She invited God's spirit. It wasn't Elisha, but it was what God was doing through Elisha and the voice of God that she wanted so desperately in her life. You see, the story goes on to say that she was a well-to-do person, probably well-educated, and she's pretty content with her life. She's pretty happy with the way things are. And she's not bitter against God. She's not angry with God. She wants to learn more and more and more about God. And so they build this room, and Elisha and his servants frequent the house in Shunem when they come to visit. Elisha's feeling grateful for all the things that this family is doing, and he wants to do something on their behalf. He says, "Well, should I go and speak to the king? Is there something special that you require, or the head of the army?" And she just probably laughs a little bit and says, "I don't need anything. I'm fine. Everything is good. there's nothing that you can do for me, or that I don't, that I need to even ask for. Gehazi notices, though, and I don't know why Elisha didn't, but there aren't any children in the house. And this story is a little bit different. We don't know if she is barren. We don't know if she has desperately cried for a child like Sarah in the Old Testament, or like Hannah, or Elizabeth in the New Testament, who had been older, and she and Zechariah didn't have any children. At the time of Jesus' day, and even in the Old Testament, a woman was defined by whether she could produce children. But at this point, at least in this time and in this community, it didn't seem to be an issue for the Shunammite woman. But Gehazi points out that there isn't any children, and so he goes, well, maybe that's something I can pray for or do on God's behalf for her. So he calls her, and he says to her, a year from now, you will bear a son. You will hold a son in your arms. She doesn't say thank you and leave the room. She said, aha, don't you be pulling my leg. I'm older. Don't you be joking with me. Who knows, maybe she and her husband had tried for a while and then just gave up. But she was content with all that God had given her. As it turns out, a year later, she did have a son. We know that we don't know how old the son is because he's still referred to as a child, but he goes out into the field with his father, and he starts complaining about his head. Biblical scholars wonder if he was dehydrated in the heat and somebody should have been watching over him and made sure that he got enough water. So, like a typical dad, the dad says, well, he's not feeling well, take him to his mom. And so the servant takes him to his mom, and as she is holding him in her arms, he passes away. I find it interesting that she takes the boy up to Elisha's room, lays him on the bed, and shuts the door and doesn't tell anybody. Except she says to her husband, I need your servant because I need to travel to Mount Carmel because I need to go talk to Elisha. Are you okay? Her husband says. Everything will be fine, she says. And she leaves. Now, Mount Carmel is about 20 miles from Shunem, so she had to travel either on a donkey or some kind of, or walk the 20 miles. It was not a quick ride. All right, it wasn't going to be a very quick trip like we are in our cars, 20 minutes to go 20 miles. So she had to travel, and she found him. I find it very interesting that she was not going to leave with a staff to place on her son's head. She was waiting for Elisha to come because she believed he was a man of God and God would be working through him. And so she had enough gumption to look right at him and say, I am not leaving until you go with me. So Gehazi does the thing that he originally said, and he goes back to the room, and he puts the staff on the son, and nothing happens. Nothing happens. And so Elisha does travel back with her, goes into the room, and he literally lays his body across the son, and he does something kind of like mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He does this several times. He paces, and he prays. And then he starts feeling the son's body warming up. And as the son is resuscitated or goes back to life, he sneezes 7 times. And the Shunammite woman picks up her son and goes out. And that's the end of that story. What can we learn from the Shunammite woman? As I was saying earlier, the whole concept that she invites someone into her house that she believes is a man of God is amazing. It's not the pastor, in a sense, that she's inviting. She's inviting the Spirit of God to be moving in her home. And who knows, maybe the cry for a child was something on her heart that she had gotten to a point that she didn't even speak about anymore. And God knew the desire of her heart. She was a very compassionate, kind-hearted woman. She opened up her home to not only this man of God, but the servants as well, and would cook for them and prepare a meal for them. And then she decided she was going to be the queen of hospitality and have a room built so that he would have a place to stay, because she knew he would be doing something not only to transform their household, but to transform the community. And when we allow God's love to transform the community, it will transform the world. I say this all the time when I'm here preaching. We not only pray for the First Baptist Church, we pray for the city of Greenville, we pray for the state of Illinois, we pray for the United States, we pray for the world. In one little pocket, the world can be transformed with the love of God. She invited this man into this house, and a child was born. But as I said before, she said, "Don't you tease me. We have been trying for a child for a long time." And this boy gets sick, and he's gone. He's gone. But she also had faithfulness in the God that makes miracles happen. Now, I know our God is not a genie in a bottle, and things don't always work out. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Glenda told us about disappointments in life. Our life is filled with disappointments that God works through. But also, even in the midst of things, God works miracles as well. And this miracle might have been for the woman, but it also might have been a miracle for Elisha. Because, well, like I said, Elisha had gotten himself in a rut. He called bears down to kill the youth that were teasing him. Now, come on. It might have been a little bit of abuse of power. All right? A little bit of abuse of power. He was in a rut, but he could talk the talk, and maybe he wasn't walking the walk. And he had to learn about God and faithfulness from the woman whose house he was staying in. Elisha was just going to send his staff, not people staff, a staff, the walking stick. And said, "Well, I'm sure God will heal him through the walking stick." And the Shunammite woman said, "Uh-uh, you need to go. And the power of God working through you will make a difference." Later on in 2 Kings, Elisha does refer to the faithfulness of the Shunammite woman. They end up having to leave the area of Shunam due to a famine. And when she goes back, her house is occupied, and Elisha goes to the king on her behalf so that she could have her house back. But also other references in Scripture talk about her faithfulness, her faithfulness. And it wasn't her faithfulness, like I said, in Elisha, but it was in God. She had come to a point in her life where she was content with what she had and was blessed by what she had. We all need to look at that in our lives too. You know, it seems like this society pushes us to have more and more and more. David and I have lived in the house across the alley for 10 years, and we are blessed to be a part of this church for 10 years. But I will have to tell you, being at churches 6 years and 5 years and everything, and when you move, it causes you to go through your stuff. And we are at the age of purging, and we are thrilled to be purging our things, because life isn't about stuff. It's about relationships. It's about people that you have in your life, and that you can be content with little and have much, much faith in your life. God teaches us so many things through this Shunammite woman. Teaches us determination also, and perseverance. You know, that we will hold on to something. You know, there's lots and lots of scripture where God is honoring the perseverance and prayer life of others. We don't just ask God once. we can ask God twice, three times, four times, five times. But at the same time, we also realize that God's wisdom is so much greater than ours. You know, we can think many times that we've got it all together and we know, God, I know you want me to do this, instead of God setting up the steps for us to do certain things. The Shunammite woman did end up changing Elisha's life. He got back to the basics and understanding the power of God that was working through him and his call from the very beginning to be that bold voice of God working through this life, this miracle that God had given. Now, we also know, too, that we can pray fervently for our loved ones to be healed. And we don't always get that miracle here on earth. It took me a while to understand that when we pray for healing, for us to understand what the ultimate healing is. We are all ultimately healed when we walk with Jesus in heaven. We can be praying all the time, and I will tell you this right here, because my sister's here with us today. We prayed fervently for my sister to be healed. But God is with her today. And there's no cancer. No cancer in heaven. My dad walked with a funny step as he got older in his life. And when he passed away, I said, you know, he's probably running in heaven today. And I think I shared with you already, Donna was only in heaven about 24 hours, and our mom joined her. And it also became this almost a little joke that poor Donna, she was only in heaven 24 hours, and here comes mom. you know, she's a mom. We're all of us that are moms, you know, we can be a little bit bossy sometimes. So here comes mom. Mom joined her in heaven. But God still works, right? He performs miracles every day, and even in that gift of someone joining our Heavenly Father and Jesus in heaven is healing. It is healing. No more cancer, no more disease. So I didn't want you leaving here today thinking that if we pray fervently, just like the Shunammite woman, everybody gets healed. We do get healed, right? We do get healed, but that is in the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. No more aches, no more pains, no more needs for hip replacements or knee replacements or any other kind of surgeries. We have to look to God for the ultimate plan of all kinds of healing in our lives. The spiritual healing that comes as well as physical healing in our lives, but also to be open to the way that he transforms our lives as well. The Shunammite woman's life was transformed by having the man of God in her house, but the man of God's life was transformed by seeing her faithfulness and her belief and her trust in a God that does work miracles and continues to work miracles. In the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews, the Shunammite woman is also referenced. And it is believed that the Shunammite woman's son is the prophet Habakkuk. And in the book Habakkuk, he talks about Jesus coming to cast out all evil in the world. And we are in a world, guys, that's of evil. We see it every day, and we see it on the news, and we see it on the streets, and we see it in our community. But we should not be discouraged, because God always wins. And he won by sending Jesus Christ to take away the sins of all of the world. So today, as we talk about the Shunammite woman, I just want to leave you with another thought. And that is to continue to be faithful and to be open as how God will move and change in your life. And also to know that sometimes things happen in your life and its effect will be on somebody else. As God moves and works through your life, through your pains, through your heartaches, through your disappointments, as he molds you and makes you into the beautiful creation he would have you to be, you also can be a lesson for someone else. For someone else. And it's what we do in the midst of it that tells the lesson of Christ in our life. Do we get bitter and angry? Or do we know that it's still gonna be okay? The Shunammite woman, a couple times without revealing about her son's death, just kept saying, "It's going to be all right. It's going to be okay." As I read the scripture, I am reminded of the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." It's a story of a gentleman who worked with the Chicago, and the real estate, and the Great Chicago Fire happened, and there wasn't enough insurance that covered the cost of the burnt buildings, but this gentleman who had studied at Moody Bible Institute sent his wife and three daughters ahead on a ship and was going to join them later, and there's a shipwreck, and the wife is spared, but the three daughters are gone. They die. And he writes the hymn as he goes out on the water and sees the bubbling water like sea billows roll, and that no matter what happens in my life, God has taught me to say, "It is well with my soul." I confess that there are times I am not like that hymn writer, and I am not like the Shunammite woman, where I wonder, but I also know that God has broad shoulders too. He knows my heart. He knows your heart. Thank God for that, right? That he knows our heart. He's got broad enough shoulders to even understand when we question his greater plan for things. But somebody like this wonderful hymn writer that inspires us to know that no matter what happens in life, God is true, God is loving, God is faithful. So what happens in life, it has taught me to say, "It is well with my soul." I pray that as we journey together continuously through this life, that as we lean upon each other through life's disappointments, that we will always see Christ in each other. And it is that love that can transform this community and transform the world. Amen.